next item, time certain, 37. We're right on schedule. Very good.
Accept district coalition plan for fiscal year 2019-20 budget for equitable distribution of resources.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. The city funds seven neighborhood coalition offices that serve as one connection point between the city and its residents. Funding inequities between district coalitions have been a longstanding issue, complicated by factors such as the fact that two of our coalition offices are city-run, while the other five are independent nonprofits. The audit of Office of Neighborhood Involvement identified this long unaddressed issue as one that needed to be urgently remedied. I'm pleased to introduce today's report to share the steps we've taken and the direction we'll go in the coming years. I would like to call up Sook Ree, Director of the Office of Community and Civic Life, for a presentation. Welcome, Director Ree.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Again, my name is Sook Ree, and I serve as director for the Office of Community and Civic Life, and it's an honor to be for myself to present for the first time to Commissioner Hardesty and this new council. Today, you'll hear from more than just myself. We have a team that will come after me, our combined presentation is to report on the actions taken in response to the budget note in the fiscal year 18-19 budget, directing the Bureau to work with relevant stakeholders to develop a methodology to equitably distribute existing resources among the neighborhood coalitions without additional funding. I will speak to the actions that we took in fiscal year 18-19 and the factors shaping our discussion for fiscal year 19 and 20. Victor Salinas will share the impact of distributed resources to East Portland Community Office. Adam Lyons and Christina Estime will speak to how district coalition offices are actually working together toward equitable outcomes, which is the focus of our continuing conversations about distribution of resources in fiscal year 19-20 and beyond. And Frida Christopher, a member of the Citywide Budget Advisory Committee, will share her reflections on the budget note progress. For my portion, I refer to the slide deck. Maybe I need to go to the other end of the aisle. Will it go up? Okay, wonderful. So, it may be surprising to some that this issue has been studied repeatedly for nearly 20 years without resolution. And it was in the audit that Commissioner Udaly mentioned of the Community and Neighborhood Involvement Center for the Bureau in 2016. The auditor wrote that during the fiscal year 2016-17 budget process, the office's budget advisory committee developed core values that state that the office would not take money from one coalition or organization to fund another, and so would not attempt to resolve inequities until City Council opted to provide more funding for all community engagement programs. The auditor noted that this approach effectively locked disparities into place. So then, again, during the budget process, we were directed to come up with a plan for implementation to address this. And although the budget note referred to an implementation timeline of fiscal year 19-20, we heeded the comments of Frida Christopher and others during the budget review process to take steps, even if initial and incremental, to remedy this immediately. In previous years, the funding question had largely been shaped in two ways: the distribution of resources among districts, particularly to East Portland, and then as compared to other regions, and then using a per-person measure to gauge funding equity. We will share with you the actions we took this year, 18-19, that resulted in increasing per-person investment in East Portland, and then the factor shaping 19 and 20, and the change in our focus of consideration. In our proposed 18-19 budget, we requested $201,980 in additional ongoing general funds and one-time resources for East Portland. The rationale was to increase the FTE from 2.275, three part-time positions, to 4.0 FTE. And for additional programming and for rent. Last year, council approved $30,000 in additional ongoing general funds. So the Bureau was committed, however, to increase the FTE to a more appropriate level, and so we redirected $120,865 in our budget to ensure at least 3.7 FTE for East Portland. So this included redirecting within our own existing general fund budget $44,388 from the Civic Life budget to East Portland, toward East Portland, and then redirecting $76,477 from the district coalition grants, again, toward East Portland's favor. And in addition, the Office of Commissioner Udaly was able to provide additional one-time support, $6,861, to all coalition offices to help with this rebalancing. This slide is a little bit complicated. I'm just going to walk through with you the numbers presented. So in the first column, you see the name of the coalitions that we are talking about. There are seven. Two of them are city staff, five are community staffed and independent 501c3s. In the second and third columns, you'll see the base funding in fiscal years 17 and 18, and then 18-19. Those are columns 2 and 3. And then if you skip to column 3, 4, 5, additional one-time funding from Commissioner Udaly's office. And then if you then you go to column 7, you'll see the percent change. So between compared to fiscal year 17 and 18, the rebalancing was the equivalent about 0.58% for all coalitions. So 0.6% was rebalanced in order to achieve the 3.7 FTE. Then on top of that, each coalition receives additional dollars for neighborhood small grants. And then so you see the total in the second to last column of what the total amount invested in the neighborhood district coalitions. You see also the bottom line is $2.5 million as a combined program investment. So the result is that in this year, the East Portland Community Office receives $3.12 per person. That's an increase of 52% from fiscal year 17-18 levels, and that is the same rate as Southeast Uplift. And Southeast Uplift is $3.14 per person. And then you note that East and South districts serve a roughly 157 and 162,000 community members, respectively. That's about half the total population of Portland, and their investments represent about 40% of the total district budget, coalition budget. For reference, the highest per person rate is $5.48. That for Central Northeast neighbors to serve about 53,000 community members. And in terms of the range of the disparity in 16-17, 17-18, that disparity range was 3-1, and we've closed that gap a little bit. Now it's 2-1, but it's not quite closed. So in fiscal year 19 and 20, so district coalitions and civic life teams began meeting in October and November of 2018 to think about the approach for 19 and 20. While we acknowledge that the steps we took in 2018 were important and necessary first steps, there are limits to using per-person measures to determine equity. We also felt like we needed to ask a more fundamental question. If we don't know what equitable outcomes we seek to deliver, then no methodology for distribution of resources will achieve those ends. So thus, we're asking some different questions, some harder questions of ourselves for any dollar that's invested throughout the Bureau. What are the equitable outcomes we want for all Portlanders? And then what would that take? Bureau, community, and citywide equity will not be achieved by one program or one Bureau alone or one effort alone. And then what is the contribution or value that district coalitions can uniquely provide? And then how would we invest existing and future resources toward that end? While this turned out to be a 20-year nut to crack, we don't believe it's going to take 20 years to make progress going forward. However, we want to remind Council this is a multi-year iterative discussion. We don't have the answers for you to this question as of right now, but we are starting that conversation in a more deliberate way. For fiscal year 19-20, the district coalition leaders and Civic Life have agreed to do several things, is to to maintain district coalition investments at 99% of the fiscal year 18-19 level. We're also going to focus on identifying equitable outcomes within the Bureau's long-term goals and within our mission. We want to start new conversations about developing shared efforts and resources that would allow us to explore new models for our work. We also need to develop a shared analysis and consequently a collective and coordinated ability to serve communities that are displaced and migrating between different parts of the city. The reality is that we need to start working across district borders as well as within them, and that we are uniquely positioned as a cohort to do this. And to articulate the differences between city and community staff offices, which do have a bearing on funding levels. Obviously, equity is not achieved through siloed strategies or siloed thinking. The issues of concern transcend district borders, and we need to address them collectively. One area you will hear more about from our panel is in the area of housing affordability and houselessness as an example of what that could look like. And I want to conclude with saying that if we only stayed, and we need different measures to gauge progress, if we stayed only with per-person measures and focused only on districts, we would see funding shifting from district to district, and that would largely be reactive and chasing symptoms of displacement and migration. And we would not necessarily be funding the district coalition partners to develop the shared advocacy, policy, and system strategies to benefit all Portlanders. So we must start thinking differently about this conversation going forward. And I would like to, with your permission, invite Victor, Adam, Christina, and Frida to the table to present their portion.
May I just ask some clarification questions? Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for your report. A couple of things I'm just not clear about. Does the East Portland Action Plan money, is that included in the allocation?
That is not included.
Okay. So that's something to
think
separate.
About.
And then could you go back to that table, please?
Yes. Oops, there you go.
So I'm confused because it says that the coalitions are getting 2,000, 4,000 cuts. Those numbers in the change add up to 18,000, and yet there's a 160,000 increase in East Portland, and that's
so
different from
yes.
the 120,000. So I'm just very confused as to what this table means.
Sorry for this is not the clearest presentation. So that includes also the 30,000 from council, the 76,000 rebalancing. That includes also then the $44,800 some dollars from the Bureau.
So the 76,000, how was that divided up amongst the coalitions?
So the 76,000, we actually consider several methodologies, including a methodology that was developed by a consultant many years ago, and we chose not to go that way. We chose simply to say, what is the proportion of this district coalition's budget within the total budget, and then that will be their percentage of the rebalancing. So, for example, if Southeast Uplift is 20% of the total coalition budget, then they took 20% of that total rebalancing burden, which was 20% of the $77,000.
So the 20% of $77,000 is not $4,000. So how much was Southeast Uplift cut?
In the end, the actual change from the base fundings also is over here. The actual change for the base funding is in the middle of the column 6, and that's the actual change that they experienced, because there was also one-time additional support from Commissioner Udaly's office.
I'm confused.
After this presentation, if we can sit with the numbers and with the offices to answer your questions more completely, would that be useful?
Yeah, or maybe when the coalitions talk, they can tell us how much they got cut.
Yes. Well, these would be the numbers that we actually got translated into the grant agreements.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. You mentioned that there's a difference between city-paid staff that works in the coalition office and folks who are not city staff. Could you talk a little bit more about the impact on whether it's city staff or whether it's community members with the revisions that you made?
the impact on community members. The distinction of city staff versus community staff offices that I like to make there is that we as a city have policies that we adhere to. For example, if there's a COLA, whereas for community-based coalitions, we don't tell them if they need to give a COLA or where their retirement contribution is, so they set their own investments for staffing, benefits, et cetera, independently. And so if you look at the if you were to pull their 990s, for example, and look at their staffing rates and their benefits, et cetera, and you compare them with the city, you would see a difference. So we are not saying that the difference means that there are different outcomes. We actually need to explore that further. We do believe, though, that there's a difference in the personnel and benefit costs. That's clear. And we need to acknowledge that because that is part of a dollar to any district coalition should be the best judgment comes from that district coalition's governance body. And for the city, that is city council. For community, that's a different body. And we see that there are different investments being made. So,
Suk, I just want to say thank you. It's amazing that it's taken 20 years for anybody to attempt to tackle this. And I'm sure there's been a lot of pushback because, you know, people like status quo for some reason. So thank you for your work on this. I know it was not an easy task.
Yes, and the credit goes to City Council, our budget, Citywide Budget Advisory Council as well as our coalition partners who are implementing the results. So, with your permission, may we invite the others to the table?
Yes, please. So we have Victor Salinas, Adam Lyons. Victor is from East Portland Community Office. Adam Lyons from Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. Christina Estima from Southeast Uplift. And Frida Christopher, who serves on our Citywide Budget Advisory Committee, as well as many other things. But perhaps you... Oh, there's Frida. Hello. Welcome.
I snuck in late.
I do that sometimes, too. Welcome, everybody, and please state your name before beginning your presentation for the record.
Well, good morning, Mayor Wheeler.
Morning.
Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Fish. Happy New Year, and thank you for having us here today. I am here to speak on the impacts and the outcomes and the equity impacts of the redistribution and funding for fiscal year 18-19 within the seven district coalition offices. Here's some context that paints a picture of where the East Portland Community Office, formerly the East Portland Neighborhood Office, had been over the last 5 years. East Portland staff have been responding to increased requests from support from many underserved and underrepresented community groups, mainly communities of identity, people of color, immigrants, refugees, and low-income families, renters. The increased request for staff time and resources was not sustainable at the previous funding level with the limited staffing availability of 2.275 FTE. So we were not able to adequately serve both the neighborhood associations and the community groups we work with. Seeing a need for additional staff support at the EPCO office, East Portlanders advocated for increased funding for the EPCO to better meet community needs. The increased funding, thanks to Commissioner Udaly, Council, our Bureau Director Sukri, was able to help us better serve the community and better meet civic life goals of supporting healthy, connected, and equitable communities. Here are some examples of how this has impacted our work. Recently, one of our neighborhood associations, the Glenfair Neighborhood Association, had become inactive for a multiple of reasons. And through staff and community efforts and outreach, we were able to help the neighborhood association not only become active again, but is now a multicultural and multilingual neighborhood association, the board, that is, one of the first in our district areas. We've been able to use funding from the accommodations fund to be able to help them through translation, interpretation within their meetings and their organizational needs. One example is the board was reviewing their proposed bylaws, and one of the board members with limited English proficiency was having difficulty participating in the conversation about a proposed amendment. EBCO staff was able to provide support to the board member in their native language to understand the topic. As a result, the board was able to bridge the language barrier and adopt their new bylaws. The takeaway from this is that increased financial support helps EBCO recruit highly competent, highly multilingual staff to support our neighborhood associations and our community groups. Another example is a recent cooperative work between CNN and EBCO, in which a small community group, culturally specific organization, the Somali Women's Coalition of Portland, came to EBCO seeking assistance on an application for Central Northeast Neighborhoods Coalition small grants. The project was a series of educational workshops on civic engagement for Somali women, and their community members live both in the EBCO service area and the CNN service area. As you know, our communities don't live by district areas, by geographical areas. You know, we live across neighborhood boundaries. So the community member, as I said, the community members lived across both areas. This demonstrates that the communities would be served across jurisdictional boundaries and therefore require the collective support of multiple coalition offices. Angela Prividelli, our new EBCO grants coordinator, helped review application and provide guidance for the community member. And additionally, the community member was new to grant writing, learned that they would also need a fiscal sponsor to successfully submit their application, which our nonprofit partner, the East Portland Neighbors, was able to provide that fiscal sponsorship. As a result, EBCO was able to link the community, like I said, to the East Portland Neighborhood Office to provide that fiscal sponsorship. The takeaway is, in working collectively, this community group was able to apply for a grant from one coalition office while receiving the technical assistance they needed from another coalition office, all in support of their project of civic engagement for Somali women in Portland. In closing, the East Portland Community Office greatly appreciates the support for the increased funding in fiscal year 18-19. We want to thank Commissioner Udaly and the rest of council, our Bureau Director Sukri, and the support from North Portland Neighborhood Services, Northeast Coalition of Neighbors, Southeast Uplift, Neighborhood Coalition, Central Northeast Neighbors, Neighbors West Northwest, Southwest Neighbors Incorporated, and we look forward to partnering across the city with other coalition offices to support about equitable outcomes in supporting neighborhood associations and underserved, under-resourced community groups in their community building and civic engagement activities. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Adam Lyons from Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. Though district coalitions were established based on geography defined as neighborhoods, we recognize that many of the significant issues we face as a city defy the artificial lines drawn over 40 years ago. We understand that the ability to even identify with the neighborhood has increasingly been an entitlement for those who own homes, as rents have skyrocketed and communities have been displaced. As a result, district coalitions have adapted our programming, partnerships, and planning to include constituencies and issues beyond solely the neighborhood system. Over the past several years, district coalitions have worked on many projects around homelessness and affordable housing. In 2016, coalitions partnered together to create a community development strategy for neighborhoods to work with the houseless community to identify safe sleep areas in our districts. This plan was what created the alternative shelter specialist position, which now sits in both Civic Life and the Joint Office. This position has been a huge benefit in coordinating rest area, village, and shelter siting, as well as communicating information out to the community. Both Southeast Uplift and Northeast can you guys hear me? I feel like I'm cutting out. Okay.
No, you're good.
Both Southeast.
Could I make one just like 6 inches is sort of the ideal. These are sort of funky mics.
Okay. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Whew. All right. Let's get back to it.
Yeah. Breathe.
Thank you. Both Southeast Uplift and Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods have been involved in welcoming Right to Dream 2 to the east side of the Willamette River. This has been a long process, but with the help of many stakeholders, neighborhood, and houseless advocates, Right to Dream 2 has been successfully located in the Lloyd District. Coalitions have partnered with Central City Concerns' Clean Start PDX program to create enhanced services in our inner city neighborhoods. Clean Start PDX is a vocational training program that works with folks with lived experience of homelessness who help provide trash and sanitation to pop-up camps, and after about 18 months usually get job placement. From a communications perspective, coalitions have been very active regarding houselessness and affordable housing. Much of our online as well as our print and mailed newspapers, which I have one here in case you haven't seen it, have been focused on daylighting the humanitarian crisis and trying to explain a very complicated civic challenge. Additionally, we have held many community meetings and town halls to discuss the housing crisis. We've created videos like Five Things to Know About Houselessness and recently created a whimsical map of how affordable housing works, featuring an illustrated bunny and an owl. Looking to the future, all seven district coalitions remain committed to addressing issues that affect all of our residents. Houselessness and affordable housing are only two of many complex challenges that we face as a growing and changing city. Our coalitions believe that all Portlanders working together can change the narrative and move the dial on many pressing issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. My name is Christina Estime, and I'm the operations manager at Southeast Uplift. To summarize, the seven district coalitions collectively cover all 95 neighborhoods of Portland. Coalitions have been an important infrastructure for facilitating communication and action between Portlanders and city government. In the nearly 45 years since the district coalition system was formed, Portland has dramatically changed. For example, the population of East Portland has grown, thus the needs of communities have changed. Whereas at one time, coalitions might have focused on land use issues, we now serve diverse communities seeking community involvement in different ways and in different languages, as Victor Salinas from East Portland Community Office just described. Whether coalitions are offering technical support to incubate community projects, helping people understand what is happening in their city through collaborative trainings, creating platforms for people to strategize towards creative solutions, such as described by Adam Lyons from NECN, we seek to increase civic engagement and to foster an inclusive and caring community. District coalitions are actively working with Suk Rhee and the Office of Community and Civic Life to identify and define equitable outcomes. District coalitions and the Bureau want to ensure that resources are directed in meaningful and impactful ways. Working together, we are adapting the services of district coalitions to be more inclusive and accessible. Participating in city government is a daunting prospect for many community members, and the infrastructure of district coalitions provides a local and less formal interface for grassroots community involvement. District coalitions are on the ground working together towards a more connected, inclusive, and accessible Portland. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Frida Christopher. I sit on the Citywide Budget Advisory Commission, East Portland Action Plan, being co-chair of their Housing Subcommittee, as well as a member of Civic Engagement Subcommittee. I'm also chair of the David Douglas School Board, so I have a broad perspective of East Portland. At last year's budget work sessions, I mentioned the equity issue in the coalitions and the audit report that was given. I applaud the director's efforts to reallocate the level of funding of limited resources to try to start to address this. I don't believe that this has been going on for over 20 years. It's not going to be solved in 1 year. I have to agree with the director in that. I also agree with the direction of looking at the outcomes and how coalitions are handled. I really respect history, having been on the David Douglas School Board for 28 years, and I often say, what have we done in the past? Not to continue to do it, because it's been done in the past, and that's the way we do things, but to look at what was successful and what is not. We need, our city has changed, and so has our neighborhoods. They have evolved tremendously. And so we need to look at, historically, okay, we've done this in the past, but what can we do differently? So I applaud the fact that the civic life is looking and at that. I want to share a couple examples of that change. Just yesterday, I was in three different meetings. David Douglas District has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. And we have decided this year, our superintendent is doing listening sessions. In the morning, I sat in on a session that was strictly done in Spanish. It brings to light how our minorities often don't understand what's going on in a meeting when you don't have a translator translating it. In the afternoon, it was a group of Somali parents. And the same thing, it's funny, it takes a little bit to get them talking, but once they start talking, it's hard to keep up with someone translating for us. And then in the evening, I met with Civic Engagement, which we have Arabic, Russian, Latino members there with translators. And they are concerned about their ability to be involved in our community and our city. They want to. There are many voters that want to vote, but they can't read the ballot and understand it. So these are things we need to look at. I know voting goes into the county and the state issues, handling that. But these were things that were brought up. In conclusion, I do appreciate the city taking a look at community engagement and seeing what we can do to change it, especially in the budgeting process. And with the Director Suk's and leadership, I know they're going to be looking at how we can change overall how our communities work and our neighborhoods can be involved. I personally, speaking with many of these minority communities, they want to be involved. We just have to learn how involvement in those areas are different because of their backgrounds. Galina from the Russian community made it very apparent. You talk to them, you communicate with them, and you get them involved in different ways. And you have to understand that before you can get them involved. But I do appreciate the efforts that are being pushed forward.
Commissioner Fritz, thank you, Frieda.
Thank you all for your presentation. I'd just like to ask the district coalition representatives, how much was Northeast Neighbors and how much was Southeast Uplift cut? What was the dollar figure?
If I remember correctly, I think it was right around $5,000.
I'm going to refer to our executive director for the exact figure.
Hi, I'm Molly Mayo, executive director at Southeast Uplift. And I believe, to clarify the question, the district coalitions usually get around a 3% cost of living adjustment. And that adjustment was not awarded last contract year. That money was earmarked as well, I think, to be reallocated to East Portland. So whereas Southeast Uplift in the 17-18 fiscal year had roughly a contract with City of Portland for $484,000, that's approximate. The most recent contract was $480,000, which is roughly a $4,000 cut. But as I understand historically, the expectation would have been that there would have been a 3% cost of living increase. So altogether, that was around $18,500 that Southeast Uplift might have anticipated that we did not receive.
So that's my understanding. The numbers in the table. I then don't understand how we get to $160,000. But my further follow-up question is, what was the impact on your services of that cut?
In terms of Southeast Uplift, we do represent a large geographic area, and so proportionately we are considered one of the lesser funded coalitions. However, because we are actually a larger coalition with six staff and a larger budget, we were able to successfully absorb that $4,000 cut just through, you know, economic measures. So I think that cut actually impacted the smaller coalitions much more.
And did you give cost of living to your staff?
I did not give cost of living adjustments to my staff at the beginning of this fiscal year. No, I did not.
Was that colleagues in the past?
The impact is on staff pay.
Right, and they already get paid less than the city-run offices.
Yeah.
So just for my newer colleagues, in the past we had said that if city employees get cost of living, then our contract employees should be able to as well. Thank you. That clarifies the numbers. Thank you very much.
Oh, could I ask one more question before you leave? Thank you. What is the my understanding is Southeast Uplift also has the ability to raise money outside of the money they get from the city. So what is your overall budget?
Our overall budget is not much larger than the city grant. The city grant, apparently, again, I'm relatively new to this system, so I've learned as I've gone along. But these district coalitions that are technically 501c3 nonprofits literally grew up hand in hand with City of Portland government. They never existed separately as a more traditionally functioning 501c3. So Southeast Uplift does have the ability to engage in fundraising. We do rent our some offices in our building and also charge a very small conference room space that maybe contributes maybe $20,000 a year to our budget. But I'm coming from a nonprofit background and was at first shocked why these 501c3s are not engaged in more fundraising.
Right.
And the reason it's a very interdependent relationship with city government, like Southeast Uplift actually started as a government office. So as we do look to the future, and of course everyone is, you know, has a on their radar the fact that nonprofits can and probably should be fundraising, you know, especially as times change.
Right.
Again, that will be a step-by-step learning process for district coalitions that are nonprofits if we go in that direction.
Thank you.
Very good. Any further questions?
Mayor,
I'll
entertain
it. We have a Commissioner
second.
Fritz has one question first.
Oh, I thought we're not taking testimony.
It's a report.
Okay, excuse me one second.
Sure.
You can carry on.
I move the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish. We have a second from Commissioner Hardesty. That's funny to us for just our own personal reasons. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Thank you, Director, for an excellent presentation. Thanks to our honored guests. Rita, you go to a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
We may have to do an intervention. I do think at some point we should pull out the we should look more holistically at all the different ways we support neighborhoods, and I think it's a fair point to include East Portland Action Plan and the budget for that, because that was one of our earlier efforts to try to do some equity and some equalization, and I think, Frieda, you've been a great voice in support of what we've accomplished through the East Portland Action Plan. But it's taken 20 years for us to get to this point. This report gives us a roadmap of some of the decisions that we're going to be making through our budget process and through policymaking. Commissioner Udaly, thank you for bringing this forward, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hardesty.
I also think this is excellent work and is long, long overdue. I was very happy to hear that EPAP would not be impacted by the changes that had taken place. I do want to put on the record that I absolutely think that our value of if city employees get raises, then our contract employees should also be receiving those cost of living increases. Very good work. I know this is only the beginning, and I look forward to working with Suk and the neighborhood offices to realize our new vision of what neighborhood engagement and involvement looks like. Thank you. I vote aye.
You daily.
Thank you, everyone, for being here today and for participating. I do agree with some of the concerns raised by my colleagues. But I think that the COLA issue, the impact to staff, is more of an argument for the city needing to increase funding for these programs and perhaps for the neighborhood offices to do a little fundraising of their own. It is not an argument against making creating a more equitable distribution of existing funds. And I'd also like to say that EPAP and EPNO, although they both begin with EP, and Serve East Portland are two very distinct organizations, and that I'm willing to concede that perhaps EPAP should be calculated in this larger equation of how equitably we're serving East Portland, but I am not willing to decrease their budgets. And I'll just leave it at that because it's a complicated undertaking. But they are distinct. They serve different purposes. And EPAP has been working with the same budget for the last decade. EPNO could not offer comparable kind of supports and services to East Portland without an increase. So there's that. Today's report makes it clear that there's no one formula or approach that gets us to equity. However, I'm confident that we're asking the right questions and appreciate everyone's willingness to consider a new way of doing business. There are two truths I want to highlight. Change is hard even when we want it. I've started saying one of my catchphrases is everyone wants change, but nobody wants to change. And that might be an explanation for why it's taken us 20 years to get here. I want to be sure to acknowledge and share my appreciation for every district coalition office and for the hardworking staff for stepping up to take to make this important move forward towards one of our shared goals, which is ensuring equitable access and allocation of services for East Portland. And two, we will never get to better outcomes if we don't define what they are. So I appreciate that we're moving past the per-person measure, which we all know does not get us to equity when we have one population that has been historically underserved and underrepresented for decades and decades relative to the others. And we need to start thinking more systematically about ways to improve our services and reach our goals of true equity for all Portlanders. Finally, a few thank yous. I want to, and a welcome. I want to welcome Shook, not Sook, just to be clear, Shook, Arif Dijanoff, our civic engagement coordinator, who will be working with the coalition offices to the city, and congratulate him on organizing his first council presentation. So welcome and thank you to Shook.
Nicely done. Welcome.
I also want to give special thanks to Diane Riley and Director Sukri for helping us tackle these big issues. Your leadership and vision are appreciated and clearly reflected in the steps we've taken already to get to better outcomes for all Portlanders. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I suspected this was not going to be an easy conversation. Based on the conversation the City Council had during the budget session last year, and taking note of the fact that this had been discussed by several previous councils, and then they overtly chose not to take action. And so that is a signal to us that there were no easy solutions here. And of course, when we're talking about equity, that means sometimes making room for others to step up, and in some very specific cases, it also required some of our coalition partners to willingly take a reduction in resources. I want to thank you for how you did this. I want to thank you for how you handled it. I don't think there's ever a perfect approach, but I can't think of a better approach than this right now in terms of actually living up to the equity goals that we stated during the budget process last year. Commissioner Udaly, I want to thank you. What was somewhat overlooked in this report was the fact that you helped fill the gap with your own office budget, and I want to acknowledge that. You contributed one-time-only resources to help limit the reductions in some of our coalition partners' budgets, and I think that spoke to your personal commitment to making sure that this was done right. And I want to thank all of our coalition partners. You're obviously not in it for the money, but the services you provide are so critically important to the community, and I just want to take this opportunity, since you're here, to thank you. So obviously, I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thank you.
Thank you.